Good morning! Welcome to Too Much Scrolling for February 14th, 2017. I'm Steve Fodor.
And I'm Eros, God of Love.
We're just a couple of guys sitting around talking about things that are important to us. Hopefully they're important to you. And if you need more information, there's so many great ways to find more information. Today, Chip, today is Valentine's Day.
Which explains the wings I have on my back and the diaper I'm wearing and the Cupid arrow and bow that I carry around with me.
And the car keys that I handed my 15-year-old. Happy birthday, Josh. Oh, man, have I got a week in front of me. If you haven't made your plans yet for Valentine's Day, oh, boy, are you in luck. Chicago's premier riffing crew, Down in Front, has a show tonight at North Bar. I love saying at North Bar in Chicago. Michael Albright's here to tell us all about the fun on Chicago's calendar this week. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning.
How are you this lovely Valentine's Day?
Oh, I'm just all a Twitter with love.
All a Twitter with love. That's your new subtitle. When you're on CNN, that's what's going under your name. So you have a show tonight, Down in Front at North Bar. What is the cultural treat that you're serving up this week?
We are going with one of the greatest love stories ever told, David Cronenberg's The Fly, starring Jeff Goldblum and Gina Davis. It's a tale as old as time. Boy meets girl. Boy becomes unspeakable abomination. Girl shoots boy in the face.
All right, so let's clarify this real quickly. This is Down in Front is a comedy writing group.
Yes.
And performance group. And what they're going to be doing is right. Something called riffing.
Yes.
On the movie. That's basically where they make fun of the movie as you watch it with them.
Is that
a good definition? For lay people, I like to call it live humorous commentary.
There you go.
So it's like the commentary track on the DVD, but you are kind of actively making fun of the movie while we're watching it with you.
Exactly. It's been done by actually some of the people from Mystery Science Theater even. I think they did one for the Melissa McCarthy movie Spy, I want to say.
Okay.
And then Mike Nelson did a few with the company that turned into Riff Tracks. He did commentaries for Reefer Madness and some Three Stooges movie.
So we remember Mystery Science Theater 3000 and the great bunch of movies that those guys actively sat in front of the movie screen and watched with us and made fun of. So your group is kind of like that.
Trained, in fact, by two of the original cast. They held a workshop when they were in town.
There you go.
And it's got Jeff Goldblum, so you know it's going to be awesome.
All right. Chaos Theory. No, that's a different movie. How do we get to at North Bar? Are there tickets? What's the deal?
The show is free, and we accept RSVPs on our Facebook and Meetup page. We're sponsored by the Chicago Mystery Science Theater Meetup Group, which I also run, so you can find them on meetup.com. You can find that on Facebook. You can find Down in Front on Facebook. And, of course, we have our own website, downinfrontlive.com.
And if you forget all that, we will also have links to these sites on the Too Much Scrolling Twitter feed and also the Facebook page.
And in our show notes. You can go to our show notes anytime and find out all the information that we've been working on. So this is kind of an exciting week for Mystery Science Theater 3000 and the Chicago Meetup Group. We are celebrating the Chicago red carpet premiere of the new Mystery Science Theater 3000 that's coming out. It's happening this week, Michael. It's happening.
It really is. I've been pretty excited about it, actually.
Me too.
The backers at that level, we've been, actually most of the backers of the Kickstarter we've become collectively known, I'm not sure who coined this term, but the Revival League.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got a meetup group we have a Facebook group, no meetup. And so I've been helping arrange events so that the Revival Leaguers who aren't from Chicago, but they are coming to Chicago to kind of enjoy their time here while they're not at the actual premiere.
So you've got a whole list of events starting on Valentine's Day. You're showing us The Fly at North Bar. And then Wednesday night, you've got another show.
Yeah, Down in Front is going to do a private show, semi-private, I suppose, but only due to space considerations. We're going to be doing a Revival League show just for them. Uh-huh. But any Chicago Misties, if you are adjacent to us, basically the meetup group is a backer of the Kickstarter, so you are by proxy a backer. Nice. Which means if you want to come, you can go ahead and RSVP, and that'll put you on a wait list. We're going to be in a very small room here, so I don't want to overload it. But if people are interested in coming and we don't get the turnout from the actual Revival League, I would be more than happy to let people come in.
Very cool. And then Thursday night is the big premiere in Chicago, and you are going to have us over for pizza before.
I certainly am. I scouted out the neighborhood because I don't really go to Wrigleyville that much myself. And I found D'Agostino's Pizza, which is perfect for the venue. It's perfectly close to the hotel most people are going to be staying at. It's really close to the theater. So I'm going to be holding some tables there. And anybody, any Misties who want to meet Revival Leaguers, any Revival Leaguers in Chicago who aren't already on top of all this, everybody is welcome to come out, mingle, and meet some of the out-of-town fans.
And then after the event on Saturday night, a young Hampton Yount is going to stick around and do a stand-up comedy routine at North Bar.
Absolutely true. I haven't gotten a chance to talk to him about that, but there's not a whole lot of details. But, I mean, he's a stand-up comic. He's been on Conan. He's been on Comedy Central. He's very funny. I think he really deserves to be our new Crow.
He's the new Crow for the new show.
He's the new Crow.
Yeah.
He's voice of Crow. And he's a good fit. He's a really good fit. He's very funny. And that one I'm not in charge of. I'm just kind of directing people towards. There is a ticketing link. You can find that on the meetup page.
And then on Monday, President's Day, you're doing another show. This is the Emporium in Wicker Park, and you're going to be... This is a viewing of Space Mutiny. This is the meetup group, right?
Yeah, it's been kind of our regular meetup time anyway, but it works also as kind of a premiere cool-down event. I'm hoping that we can kind of cram the Emporium full of people and make him say, yeah, we like this.
All right. Enough about you, Michael. Okay. Let's talk about
Mystery Science. Anyway, that's it.
Let's talk about Mystery Science Theater 3000 Season 12 coming to Netflix, well, in the not-too-distant future is all we know.
We don't have an official release date yet,
nope,
do we?
Not yet. We're going to this premiere this week, and then hopefully the rest of the world will get to see it very soon.
I've heard unofficial expectations
somewhere between March and May.
Okay.
But that's unofficial. Nobody in the know has actually said anything.
Well, they just released the date for Iron Fest this week, and it seems like every week they have the premiere trailer coming out. So I'm certain to be coming out right around that time.
Mm-hmm. So, Michael, what are your expectations? What are we going to see out of this new Mystery Science Theater 3000 on Netflix?
At worst, I am extremely confident.
All right. That's great. That's a great way to start.
At worst.
At worst, I am extremely confident. Expectations are high for this. There's no doubt.
Oh, yeah. Now, the main thing that sets this new thing apart is that almost everybody involved in it is a known entity in some way. I mean, the writing room has Dan Harmon and Justin Roiland, who do the impossibly good Rick and Morty on Adult Swim. Elliot Kalin, who used to be, I think he was head writer of The Daily Show with Jon Stewart, is now the head writer of this. Paul and Storm, who tour with Jonathan Colton, they used to be half of Da Vinci's Notebook. Mm-hmm. They're going to be writing a bunch of the music. Everybody on screen, Patton Oswalt, Felicia Day, and Jonah Ray, they've all got huge bodies of work that people love. And like the only new people are the bots, Hampton and Baron Vaughn, and they're just funny. I mean, I've looked them up, I've watched their stuff, and they're good. They are very encouraging choices. The worst thing I can think of happening here is that the show is too good, if that makes sense.
Uh-huh.
The show used to have kind of a bare bones look to it.
Well, it started as local TV, and now it's gone to Netflix. Netflix is the pinnacle right now in a lot of ways.
Right, and I think if the riffing is solid for the movies, We can forgive the addition of production values to the sketches.
I think production values would be okay.
We're going to have graphics.
Well, if you remember when the Mystery Science Theater 3000 movie hit theaters, the production values on that were enormous and people were almost put off by it. So that is a thing with this community.
They like the thrown together feeling of it. And, right. I do too. There's a gag in Space Mutiny that we're going to be watching on the 20th. There's a prop goof. Pearl throws a sword just away and it bonks into another character point first. He just puts his hand over where the sword hit. They keep filming. I'm pretty sure nobody noticed and it made it into the show.
It's great local TV, and I look forward to what we're going to see. Until we see it on Netflix, we can relive all the historic moments from MST3K. We got our friends over at Riff Tracks who keep making just great movies, and we see those all the time. And if we're in Chicago, we can come down and see you and down in front throughout 2017 for Chicago brand of riffing. So where can our listeners find out more about you and Down in Front and the MST3K meetup group?
Right now, the Facebook page has probably the best information, but since obviously not everybody likes using Facebook, we have a Twitter feed, we have our own website, and anywhere you want to try to find us, if you look up Down in Front Live, all one word, that's probably us.
And the MST3K meetup group?
The MST3K meetup group is also on Facebook and meetup.com.
All right. We'll have all of that in our show notes. There's a lot to do this week, Chip. I've got a lot to do in the middle of musical season.
Steve has a lot of sick days he's built up.
I am taking a few personal days this week so that I can be at these things that are once in a lifetime moments. And it's going to be great, Michael. It's going to be great.
Oh, yeah. After this week, my fiancé is going to insist I watch a few good movies.
Oh! Do they still make good movies? Because I've heard some bad things about the movies this week. Excellent.
Well, if they don't, I've got some old ones.
There you go.
We should go ahead and mention New York Times. They did a review of 50 Shades Darker. Michael, do you want to tell us about what the reviewer said about this movie?
I believe it was 5 minutes in, it turned into live Mystery Science Theater. Just all the movie critics had come out, and it was so bad or so silly or something that they just kept throwing lines out like it was Rocky Horror Picture Show or something.
That does not bode well for that movie.
So riffing has gone mainstream.
I will say, we are considering 50 Shades of Grey for next Valentine's Day.
Intriguing. Excellent.
Wow, would be interesting.
We'll keep an eye out for that. We'll keep track of you on the Facebook group and the Chicago meetup group. I'm so glad that you do this for us, Michael. Thank you very much for coming in and talking to us about this today.
Thank you for having me.
Brings us to our film at 11, our movie of the week, and you and I both got a chance to see two different productions this week. The first one, it's Valentine's Day, Chip.
It is Valentine's Day, and sometimes we want to get together with that special person in our life. What would we do if we had Netflix and we wanted to chill?
Well, you queue up Michael Bolton, of course.
Michael Bolton's big, sexy Valentine's Day special. It was released last week on the 7th.
Yep.
And we both got a chance to sit down with our special someones.
My special someone did a drive-by on this one and looked at it and saw what I was watching and walked away.
My wife walked away from me, too. So I watched this by myself, and I had very high expectations, of course.
Mm-hmm.
It's put together by the Lonely Island Group with Andy Samberg.
Mm-hmm. Which I like their work. I remember the Never Stop, Never Stopping Popstar.
Yes.
That was a really good, fun movie. This Michael Bolton thing, I found no joy in this, Chip.
Let's just say that the premise of it started out pretty funny.
I agree.
The premise is Santa Claus has sought out Michael Bolton because there has been an overproduction of 75,000 toys. And he's concerned that they're going to not be, I guess they're going to go bad if they don't have children to do them. So can Michael Bolton
save Christmas?
on Valentine's Day.
Uh-huh.
With a telethon, mm-hmm, with a whole bunch of comedians.
And that's a great premise. The idea is we are 10 months away from Christmas. Let's celebrate and let's repopulate the earth so that Christmas can be saved. All these toys can go to a baby.
So there he is. That's how it starts. So high hopes right there. Mm-hmm. The idea behind this was very similar to Stephen Colbert's Christmas special a few years ago, where Toby Keith and John Legend and who else stopped by? Willie Nelson stopped by. And anyway, it was kind of a loose story that gave it an opportunity to have some comedy bits.
Mm-hmm.
2 years ago, Netflix brought out A Very Murray Christmas. Once again, a very loose story. The idea was to take a few comedy bits and walk around with Bill Murray as they ran into different Christmas songs.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this works the same way, except for you got the ultimate crooner from the 80s, Michael Bolton, trying to reach his millennial audience with some curse words and all
and
sorts
just,
of...
And just naughtiness. It's so... There's so many words that they're saying in this that I was offended by.
Well, that's a good point. So you get Michael Bolton's songs, which he does, you know, a very good job.
Oh, yeah, very good.
His big foil in this would be Kenny G,
mm-hmm,
who is played by Andy Samberg.
While Kenny G is standing right there.
Which makes no sense at
no
all.
No sense.
Kenny G should have been part of this.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, he would have been good foil for Mr. Michael Bolton. Instead, he just got he was sweeping up
right
in the background.
He was the janitor in the background.
Well, the skits that go on in between the songs, I think that's where we really have the issues. They, mm-hmm, they look like they were kind of thrown together.
Mm-hmm.
Were not thought out very well, and they really needed an editor. We got a song about pubic hair that mentioned it multiple times.
Right.
Even Michael Bolton mentioned, like, why do we have this song? And I would say to the comedians, yeah, why?
Why does this exist?
Yes. But anyway, we got a number of these skits in between his fun songs where you got to sing all his greatest hits,
mm-hmm,
along with the Captain Jack Sparrow song.
Right.
Slow version.
It's got an all-star cast. You've got a whole bunch of comedians there. You got Janine Garofalo and Louis Anderson and Sinbad. I mean, who couldn't tune
Bob
in for
Saget,
that?
Baby.
Bob Saget is there. Sarah Silverman, you already mentioned. Fred Armisen is quite possibly my favorite part of this. He does a really funny moment in this hour-long special.
Tell me about it.
Well, he's playing a chocolatier.
Oh, that's right.
And he says, we have this machine. It's an ultrasound machine. And we can figure out which kind of filling you have in your chocolate before you bite into them, because this is a problem that we have on Valentine's Day. He takes out the goo and puts the goo all over the chocolate, puts this ultrasound on it, goes, that's a plain one.
That's probably, that has to be the best skit.
That was the best one.
So all the other ones were really... offensive would be a good way of, mm-hmm, saying it. Just certainly betrayed Michael Bolton's audience, I would, mm-hmm, say. I think that his audience would have been, you know, just not receptive to it. They needed, I certainly am not bad-mouthing comedians because everyone wants to take chances. They could have gone through a filter, probably through maybe through Nashville or something, Branson, Missouri a little bit, to kind of... you know, bring it back to a traditional audience. Because the premise initially of Santa Needs Babies, mm-hmm, and Michael Bolton's going to sing songs that it's Valentine's Day so that you can get busy.
Mm-hmm. It's a good premise.
It seems reasonable, and it seems Netflix and chill would have worked real well.
That was a clever idea. It's the skits that weren't clever. The skits that were just over the top. Here's a funny word. I'm going to say a funny word now. Those were the ones that got me.
But that's not all that we watched this week.
Oh, sir.
Now, Steve has a son.
Yes, sir. Two of them.
And I have two daughters.
Uh-huh.
My daughters blew me off, but your son, your youngest son, said,
yes,
I will do this. So what did you guys do?
We went... opening night, Thursday night, we went to go see the Lego Batman movie. And when I say we, I mean, yes, my son agreed to go to this children's film with me to satiate my need for more Lego in my life.
And on the same note, I picked up my daughter from some kind of event, and I said, would you like to go to the movie with me? And I immediately, the 13-year-old looked at me like, no, I will not be going with you, father. You'll take this on your own. So I went to about an hour after you did.
Nice.
And we got to watch the Lego Batman movie. What did your son think about it? Because he's probably the person we need to talk to about.
Exactly. My 10-year-old really liked this movie. This movie is definitely, I think, aimed at the 10-year-old audience. As much as the original Lego movie was aimed at us middle-age people and showing us all of those nostalgic pieces... I used the word pieces in there. Literally, we recognized the pieces that they were building with in that Lego movie. This Batman movie is a Batman movie that just happens to be in Lego form, and I really think that it was aimed directly at my 10-year-old. He loved it.
Where the original Lego movie talked a little bit about creativity, mm-hmm. Nostalgia a little bit, and about working together,
mm-hmm.
This movie's premise was you can't be a loner,
right.
And you need friends. And I think that it did a good job at bringing that.
Mm-hmm.
Batman, of course, is the Dark Knight
here.
And he is a brooding guy that likes to beatbox. Certainly not as dark as many of the current versions of live Batmans.
And that's where a lot of the humor comes from in this movie, is they do mention the fact that Batman versus Superman was very dark. And Superman is not your enemy, Batman is said in this movie at least twice.
Exactly. Well, I mean, it seems like the Joker needs Batman to recognize.
Right.
They have a relationship.
That's right. This is a good movie. I really like this movie. I did not love it like the original Lego movie. This is a 7 out of 10 for me.
I'm going to go along with it on the scale from 1 to 100. I would say in the 60s and 70s. Although Rotten Tomatoes, which is a site that takes a whole bunch of the reviews and puts them together, it's much, much higher. It's it's in the 90s. And I don't see that part of it. I see this as a children's film.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's a very good children's film. If your kids like Cars, if your kids like Pixar films, I mean, this is going to definitely go right up their alley.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was very clever, the bad guys that they ended up fighting. Ultimately, they ended up fighting King Kong and the Eye of Sauron and Voldemort. And
the Daleks.
And they have a statement in there, yes, the for Daleks, all you Doctor Who fans.
The Daleks show up and Batman says, oh, the English robots, ask your nerd friends. I laughed so hard at that line. That line was for me. I do recommend you go see the Lego Batman movie. It's a good movie.
It's a good young person's movie, yeah. Yes.
Opening this week, there's some movies that are opening that...
It's a quiet week. In fact, I put together the document because Steve's been so busy.
Musical
and
season.
And I left the movies blank.
Because
I was kept thinking, like, oh my goodness, what are we going to talk about? There are three big movies opening this week.
Big movies.
And let me make sure we say that with a wink, because I'm not sure if any one of these is something I'm interested in.
Yeah, the first one is called A Cure for Wellness. This is a horror movie about medical technology and the fears that we might see in the future.
Sounds awesome, Steve.
The second one is called Fist Fight. This is
Ice-T and a comedian mm-hmm. get in a fight. They're teachers.
They're teachers in
That's
a school.
Awesome. So if Batman movie uh-huh. would be something you could watch with the Legos at school, I don't think this would be something we could watch.
No, you know, I really don't like movies about school in general because they usually are just ridiculous, and usually the teachers are the ones that are the butt of the jokes, and I think that's what we're seeing with this one.
And bullying. So awesome, because, mm-hmm. you know, I'm a snowflake here.
Yeah. Let's make bullying funny.
There's another great one. And then we have The Great Wall.
Yes, The Great Wall is maybe the best of these three. This is Matt Damon goes to China and battles hordes of monstrous creatures. That's why they built The Great Wall.
That sounds awesome.
It's a myth.
Okay, that sounds awesome. This sounds very similar to, was it a couple Christmases ago with where Neo was in Ronin?
Right. The most amazing Claudio. Yes, Shakespearean actor goes... Yes, got it. The Great Wall, I could see what they were trying to do. I'm not sure that I'm going to plunk down my cash to see that one.
There's three for you.
There you go. There's some movies that are opening this week. Go see the Lego Batman movie. Go see it. It's good. It's not great. It's good. Hidden Figures is still out. Go see that. That's a really good movie.
There you go.
Brings us to our book of the week. And you, oh boy, Chip, You are on the pinnacle, the highest level right now. You have bought and read a book that came out this week.
Steve, that could have been a first for me.
It might be the first time on the show.
And that is the incredible part. Last Tuesday, on the 7th of February, Neil Gaiman's Norse Mythology was released. Mm-hmm. It's a book where Neil Gaiman took the mythology and wrote it in sort of story form.
Nice.
And I purchased it. And as we've learned from having Neil Gaiman's books and treadmills and things like that available mm-hmm. to us, you want Neil to read these to you. You don't necessarily want to read them. You want him to read them to you.
He's such a great reader. He's such a great actor, and he gives so much expression to the feelings of these characters.
One of my favorite parts was just in the introduction of this book. Neil talks about how he got involved in learning about Norse mythology. And he said, well, I picked up this Thor comic in England. Jack Kirby and Stan Lee had put together these stories, and there was his introduction to this Norse mythology. He wanted to learn more about it, and so he went and he got his mythology, or many of us do. We get from these dusty books,
mm-hmm.
And you either fall in love with it or not. And on the same note, I mean, this is how Tolkien, I think, that he got a lot of the Lord of the Rings, which I'm still working on. He got that from his love of Norse mythology.
Hmm.
So I will tell you that you may, if you are a person who has grown up knowing this mythology, which I was not. I a couple of years ago, I wanted to learn a little bit more about Jack Kirby and all the Marvel movies were coming out and things of that nature. So I ended up picking up a Thor book, and the Tales of Asgard were, I will tell you, were put together because Jack Kirby had a book that had these Norse mythologies in it. He would open up, read the chapter, they read the story, and then write the backup story based on that.
It's kind of like what Disney did with the Jungle Book. He took this story and set it aside and wrote it down in a different way that was
sure.
more able, capable to get the story across to his audience.
So what I will tell you is that the characters that you know, there are three big stars in this. Odin is, of course, he is the Allfather.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have Thor, who is very different in this. He is kind of, he was not very bright. He is a guy with a hammer.
The muscle.
He is the muscle. And then Loki. Loki is, he is the trickster.
Mm-hmm.
He is a heavy drinker. And when he drinks, he tends to do things that are not very nice to people. So they run into all sorts of challenges. You get the origin of the universe story, where there was nothing and then there's something. We get where the first humans arrive. A lot of the stories, because they have been lost, they will contradict each other. So we do not have a complete, like the Bible has, we may have most of the books in the Bible. We have a large volume of Greek myths available to us, Egyptian myths available to us, Norse myths. We have missed a whole bunch of these stories. So they tend to kind of, we get stories anyway, there's missing parts to it. So every time I worked out, I threw my headphones on, and we get through 30, 40 minutes worth of these stories. And even when I lay down at night, before I went to bed, I would get through a few more of them. This book is made to either be read over and over, or it's made to have it read to you over and over. So the stories are short enough where you can get a complete one in and then move on to the next part.
And you can go in depth in your study of mythology. You can go further, and Neil Gaiman might be one of the better authors working right now. And for him to give you an entrance into this world is fantastic.
Which brings us to our appetite, because I think there's going to be... You saw Thor, the Marvel Thor. Maybe you've read a comic on Thor or something like that. You saw the Neil Gaiman book. You went and picked it up. And now you want to know more. And you have resources that 20 years ago we would never have had.
Mm-hmm.
So in 20 years ago, you have taken that information. Maybe you have gone up to your local library. Or if you're near a university, maybe you can get to a deeper version.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe the library has a book on Norse myths. Is it a children's book or is it a an academic work? It's whatever the luck of the draw was at that point.
But now Tim Berners-Lee has given us the gift of the World Wide Web, and we have all of the information that we need at our fingertips. Whatever you want to study, you can find it.
Well, my intro to this, I had an interest in learning more. So a few months ago, I went on the web, and I went to YouTube, mm-hmm. and I ended up running across this professor. His name is Jackson Crawford. Mm-hmm. He has a website on there. You can find it in our notes. And let's say that he is an expert on pronunciation.
Mm-hmm.
He is an expert on basically taking these stories in the Old Norse and translating them. In fact, he did that in the Poetic Edda, Stories of the Norse Gods and Heroes. So if we look at Neil Gaiman's as the intro level, mm-hmm. this is the academic work. And in fact, it is a textbook. You can find it through Amazon, but you don't have to do that. My goodness, that's what YouTube's for.
YouTube is the textbook, is the instruction manual for life.
Well, he has a series. There's hundreds of videos
mm-hmm.
where this is a professor at University of California, Berkeley, and he has he's going to show you how the letters work. He's going to show you the pronunciations of them. He's going to read you the stories mm-hmm. in the Old Norse. Then he's going to read them to you in English. Like today is Valentine's Day. If you go to the site right now on YouTube, you can click through. He will teach you how to say, I love you in Old Norse.
Nice.
And then from there, he'll take it and he'll show you Old Icelandic and then current Icelandic.
Wow.
So what you'll do is you can see sort of the evolution of the pronunciation and how the words have changed. He looks like a big cowboy.
He's got his cowboy hat on, yeah.
I swear, it always looks like, you know, I'm out in the old
and he's got a great prairie. Voice. Yeah.
And
let me explain to you about Thor.
That's right. We're going to talk a little bit about Loki. and he's going to tell you a little bit about the stories and how they're put together. He got his dissertation was arguing that black, the word they thought was black, is actually blue.
Hmm.
And you're going to say, well, my goodness.
And now I don't know what color the dress is at all.
my point is that there's a group of people on this earth who have interest in this subject.
Mm-hmm.
Enough of those people have sponsored him mm-hmm. to put together a series of YouTube clips. And they follow him, and they learn from him as he learns. He's an expert on it. He is our a modern Tolkien. It would be a good example of
wow.
that. So my point of this is not necessarily just Jackson Crawford, although he is a fascinating guy, wonderful to listen to as you're driving someplace. But I think what the point is if you have interest in a subject and you want to get deep into it, the amount of resources you have available at your fingertip is unbelievable.
Yeah, we say it every week. The information's out there, and hopefully you're interested in it. And when you find something that you're interested in, go out there and find in-depth information about these topics. It's amazing.
That's what Googling is about.
That's what the World Wide Web was built for. It was built to be the world's library, and it's out there. You can find it.
So tell me a little bit about what's going on in the world around us in the news.
In the news, we've got a couple of things coming around that we can talk about on this show. The first one, you have discovered so many wonderful things for us to share with our listeners, and you found one called Dear Evan Hansen. This is a Broadway musical that the cast recording is going to come out on CD this month.
It's right. So the MP3 was released on the 3rd
mm-hmm.
of February. So if you have a streaming service, Apple service, Amazon, any of the music services, it should be available. You can also go on Amazon. You can actually purchase the MP3s. I'm assuming you can do it on iTunes too.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have access to YouTube, which every one of us do, they posted the entire Broadway musical soundtrack, the recording, there so you can listen to it at your leisure.
What a world.
So what do we want you to know about this? So this was a Broadway musical. Before it was on Broadway, it started in Washington, D.C. It was brought off Broadway and then to New York last summer, and then it's going to be on Broadway as of last December. So that's when it went to Broadway, and the recording was released on the 3rd. It is a story of a couple boys. One of the boys dies, and sort of the story of that one gentleman kind of working it to prepare for this. I've listened to this the entire musical a few times now. the group that put together a musical learned a lot about how Hamilton markets and is using that. Small theaters, make sure it's sold out. And make sure people have access to the music.
Yep.
I don't think anyone's going to be unhappy when they first listen to it. The music is very familiar.
Mm-hmm.
And the first story, the first song that you're presented with is the one where two moms, so in two different homes, are having to communicate with their sons.
Their teenage sons.
And
always a challenge.
And well, it's always a challenge talking to young teenagers, typically. I went to lunch with my, I'm sorry, I went to dinner with my daughter, my 13-year-old, and asking questions, tell me about it. Yes?
Yes.
No?
No.
Yes?
I don't know.
Eventually you get the breakthrough, and all of a sudden you find out how witty and funny they are.
Yep.
That's right. Tell you all sorts of good stuff.
Yeah. The first song certainly hits you right in the feels as a dad of a 13-year-old, or in my case, a 15-year-old.
Sure.
And yeah, it's a powerful song. I look forward to the rest of it.
Well, the moms are basically saying, does anybody have a map to how to communicate with my young people?
Mm-hmm.
And then we get the stories. I've listened to it. All the songs are wonderful. I highly encourage you, as you're driving around, going to work, or working around the house, to throw it on.
And to be crying over all the feels. Great. Thanks, Chip.
I didn't say crying all over it. I said that there's a good part to this. This is a good story.
All right.
Anyway, enjoyable, and you'll hear a lot more about it.
All right. That one's called Dear Evan Hansen, and you can find that soundtrack on our Amazon store, amazon.toomuchscrolling.com.
If you're not busy with Michael Albright this week,
we're busy.
Tell me anything else that's going on in Chicago.
The Chicago Auto Show kicked off this weekend, and it is in full grandeur at this point. The world's largest auto show. 1 million square feet of space this year.
All right, so Steve loves cars. There's few technologies that he loves more than cars.
Yeah.
Steve, why would you be going there? And would Nissan have a way of roping you in?
Oh, the nerd vote is in, and there are a couple of different things. The spirit of Rogue One is there at the car show.
What is Rogue One?
Rogue One is... Star Wars, Chip.
Oh, Star Wars.
Rogue One is the name of a movie, and the Nissan company has a car named the Rogue. So they teamed up with Disney and made themselves a couple of very interesting looking Rogue One styled vehicles. One of them has an astro droid sticking out of the top of it. It's an X-Wing.
A scale replica of a Y-Wing starfighter.
And Lego Batman, the Batmobile, the Speedwagon one from the Lego Batman movie is there in full Lego.
So they've almost got Steve there.
There are five different test tracks in this year's car show. You can drive an actual car in five different test tracks in this facility this year. And props from Rogue One are there. They have the Death Star prop from Rogue One sitting at the car show. And stormtroopers. Oh, I forgot about the stormtroopers. There's stormtroopers at the car show. You can take pictures with them, and there's a camera where if you stand there, you can make it look like you are in stormtrooper garb. I'm getting excited.
Well, you can thank all the automotive groups for that. And just so that some of you nerds can know this, there is free Wi-Fi.
There's free Wi-Fi.
You won't have to use all your data.
The entire 1 million square foot area has free Wi-Fi, and apparently, according to reviews that I've read, it actually works. Those of you who have been to a convention where the Wi-Fi suffers because there's so many people, apparently they've made it so this Wi-Fi actually works across the show floor.
So, Steve, your oldest son will be graduating from high school in 2020.
Yes, sir.
The last hurrah that you're going to be doing, maybe the summer of 2019.
Mm-hmm.
What would you suggest would be something that possibly would be a father-son type trip?
Okay, this is like the Steve is getting excited show. Happy Valentine's Day to everybody. Okay, Star Wars Land is going to open in 2019 down in Orlando. 14 acres of Star Wars to go walk around in Orlando.
If you show up a week early, you can go to Harry Potter's place over at Universal.
Next door. Next door. You can go pet whatever animals are over there and then come over to Star Wars Land.
How awesome. They announced this when they bought Star Wars mm-hmm. from Lucasfilm, and it's going to be a reality.
2019.
And the question is which cosplayer will Steve be dressing as?
the question is there a hotel that is a Star Wars themed hotel? Can I stay there for a week? That's the question.
Ah, there we go.
That sounds so awesome. I'm so ready for Star Wars Land. I always liked the Star Wars things that were at Disney before, but a 14-acre Star Wars dedicated area sounds fantastic to
this
me.
This is the park he's been looking for.
Excellent.
All right, Steve. Steve, love is in the air.
Love's in the air.
It's Valentine's Day.
Yes, sir.
Weddings will be coming up. Mm-hmm. Maybe Michael Bolton will be singing.
There's probably some proposals planned for tonight.
That's right. So, yeah. You know, once I get those proposals, mm-hmm. There's a certain company that recognized that people were ordering their product.
Uh-huh.
And they have found an easier way for you to show your love on your wedding night.
Wedding registries are big, and you can register for all sorts of gifts. The newest company to get on the bandwagon for your wedding, Domino's Pizza.
Just straight Domino's now.
Oh.
Just straight Domino's.
Because they have other things other than pizza.
They do, but Domino's has a registry now. So on that wedding, we all know how it really goes. You go and you eat your food. Yeah. You do a little dancing. It's yeah. late at night.
And you order a ton of pizzas. And my sister did that.
Of course they do. I mean, the reality is that, you know, we're not talking about like this dream wedding. We're talking about you've just had your dream wedding. Uh-huh. And the reality is that you're still hungry.
Yeah. So you order some Domino's pizza. This is a great idea. It's a great idea.
It's a registry.
It's a registry. They've got a bachelorette party package. They've got all sorts of plans for you and all of the love that you have at Valentine's Day.
As if the love doesn't get any deeper. If things don't get any easier, who says we don't live in the greatest time in human history?
Absolutely, we do. I think we have enough information to survive another week. What do you think, Chip?
Only if we can come back next week.
That's right. We'll see all of the things that we get to see this week. I'm so excited about all the possibilities.
I'm going to get to wear a powdered wig next Monday.
Oh, President's Day. So you can go buy a mattress and a powdered wig. That's all I know about President's Day. Maybe you'll tell me more about it next week. If you need more information, there's so much information. You can give us a call or a text. Our phone number is 805-4104-TMS. Our email is toomuchscrolling@gmail.com. Our website is toomuchscrolling.com. We're on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook. You can find us on iTunes and Stitcher and TuneIn Radio. And every day of the week, you can find all the news that you need on our news site, news.toomuchscrolling.com. I want to thank you again for listening to Too Much Scrolling. I'm Steve Fodor.
And I'm Eros, God of Love.
We'll see you in the future.